Time for Wednesday's hour number two on Hashtag Daily K with your host, Peter Bint. Korean dramas, movies, and even lyrics. Why is the world paying attention to Korean stories?
From classics to modern masterpieces, time to dig deep into the charms of Korean literature.
On Check It Out.
With Paul.
Vanessa's on the chat saying it makes me so happy when he reads.
Oh, thank you, Vanessa.
Yay.
Thank you.
No, I think she's talking about me.
Oh, okay. Fair enough.
She didn't say your name out loud, but I'm sure she's talking about
you. She can't say her name out loud. It's a message, Peter.
Well, maybe she could interact and be shouting from wherever you are, Vanessa.
No, you do that in the first hour with your Peter's Questions, whatever it's called.
We do KQs, don't we? But remember, Paul is usually here every Wednesday if you don't want to miss that,
Vanessa.
Yeah,
what's happening, Peter? Why am I here today?
It's okay, Paul. Just calm down. Take a deep breath. Days are pretty arbitrary, aren't they?
No, they're not. I mean, Monday comes after Sunday. Tuesday comes after Monday.
But if someone, if you fell asleep, yeah. What's to say you haven't been sleeping for 2 days?
Right? My name is not Van Winkle.
You wake up and, it might be a Thursday. Who knows?
A Thursday?
Yeah, it could well be. So don't get too hooked up on days. Paul's here. Check it out. We're going to keep everything the same apart from the day that you're here this week. And then next week, back to normal. Okay? Can you deal with that? You'll be back on Wednesday.
Yeah.
Have you been having a good April so far? Slap bang in the middle today, the 15th.
Yeah, I just want to say thank you so much for the gift you gave me last week. Oh. I can't remember whether it was during the show or after the show, very, very generous gift.
What was it for again?
For my birthday.
Yeah.
Yeah, which you definitely gave me last Wednesday.
But your birthday was not on the day itself, was it?
No, it was on the Friday.
So it doesn't count.
No, but you promised the week before that you were going to get me a present.
Did I?
And then you got me this brilliant present.
Yeah.
And I was so, so happy.
Yeah. So we're good. We're golden.
Yeah. Next week, if I feel less happy about it, we'll have words.
No, you shouldn't change your mind. You should stick to how you feel right now, Paul. It's recorded. It's on the record now.
Well, I brought him my own birthday present.
For me?
No, for me.
Oh. Are you not the type who thinks giving is receiving, basically?
What do you mean giving is receiving?
The gift of giving is the best gift you can receive.
That's different to saying giving is receiving.
No, so if you give to me, you are receiving the pleasure of giving to me.
No, because you never say thank you.
That doesn't matter either. I think we're getting too hooked up on etiquette and formalities. What gift did you bring?
I brought a book.
Oh, okay.
For me, because what?
Are you being selfish?
No.
This book is completely for you.
For example, I love my wife dearly, but the one thing that she cannot do and has never been able to do is to buy books for me.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because I read too much so she never knows what I've got, what I haven't got, what I've read, what I haven't read, what I might like, what I might not like.
That's your fault, yeah.
Yeah, it is my fault. So, for my birthday, I bought myself a heap of books.
Wow, how many?
I bought the whole collection of Tintin. Which is like 23 volumes.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Is that in like proper books or little comics?
It's proper comic books.
Oh wow.
Yeah. Okay. And I bought myself some other books. And I had this book before, but I wanted to feature it on the show belatedly for my birthday.
Nice.
Because I love it.
That's good to know. Maybe we can do Tintin translated into. Was Tintin ever translated into Korean?
Of course, yes. His name is Deng Dengi.
Ding-dingy.
Yeah.
Oh, that's kind of cool, isn't it? Maybe we could retranslate that into English and read it on the show
one day.
Don't think
there's any need for that, Peter.
No, perhaps not. Perhaps we're making more work for ourselves. Tigrish does ask, though, the important question of how was your birthday, Paul? What number, if you don't mind me asking, are we sitting at now in your birthday?
We're sitting at, because are we doing international age now in Korea?
Yes, we should, shouldn't we? And for our international listeners.
Yeah, I'm sitting at 46.
46. How does that number feel? I feel that's lucky. 4 plus 6 equals 10. And I don't know, I'm quite into my 10 rounding numbers.
I like it. My 40s have been fabulous so far.
Fabulous and, 40s.
I don't feel like I thought I would feel when I hit my mid-40s.
Uh-huh.
I think when I was in my 20s, mid-40s seemed like you would feel really decrepit.
Of course.
And my knees do feel that way, but everything else is feeling okay.
You need more collagen, Paul. Maybe okay. for next year's birthday, I'll buy you some collagen.
Buy me some ox bone soup.
Maybe not. The pills are much more convenient. You can carry them in your bag without them spilling and making it stinky. Vanessa says, you're only 1 year older than me, Paul. And ouch when you talk about your decrepit knees. Yes. Does sound painful.
Oh, it's all fine.
Today's book, then, one of Paul's favourites. And from what you said, I'm guessing it's been out for a while.
It's been out for a little while. We've been featuring these books from a series of fancy chapbooks. Uh-huh. If you remember these very beautifully put together, stapled together books with short stories. And so I've brought one of those. This one is called Take My Voice. 목소리를 들을게요. Which is a little bit different in English and Korean.
It's like, I'll give you my voice.
Exactly.
Right, in Korean.
Yeah, but it works. It works well. It's a good title. Uh-huh. It's written by Jung Se-rang, or Se-rang Chung, as she's known in English, translated by Anton Her. And it's sci-fi, it's fantasy, it's weird. It's a tale of a group of, are they misfits or are they monsters? I'm not sure. They're stuck together in a detention centre because they're a danger to society. But perhaps there might be a little hope around the corner.
I was watching Thor Ragnarok last night, and Misfits or Monsters makes me remember the people who are waiting in the holding pen to go out and fight as gladiators.
Yes.
Is this a story about them? No?
It's nothing to do with the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Oh, I would have liked it if it was. Me and my son are getting into that now together. It's lovely. No aliens. Oh, well, you said maybe monsters. Or misfits.
You're going to have to wait and see.
Do we mean figuratively or literally? The author, have we featured Jung Se-rang?
We have not, but I think she may be familiar to some of our listeners. Oh. Those who like quirky K-dramas may have watched The School Nurse Files back in 2020.
Oh, my goodness.
Which
that was the
big
weird,
on the streaming. Yeah.
Weird, like, slime... another dimension creatures. She had like a light stick for a sword, and I watched the first episode and I gotta say it was too weird.
Okay, well, that series was based on the book by Se-rang Chung, not this story, but another book called School Nurse An Eun-young. So if you're a fan of that drama, or if you know the book, if you speak Korean, then you'll love this book. I think she's amazing. I've only read this one story because that's all we have, I think, for the moment in English. She's relatively young. She started off in publishing as an editor, then managed to get her own work published starting in about 2011. She's written a number of novels along with a collection of short stories. And last year, she ventured outside of Korea to write an episode for the second season of Star Wars Visions.
What?
Yeah,
you're
the TV
into
show.
Star Wars, aren't you?
Not really.
Oh, no. What are you into? Many things I know, but Doctor Who.
Doctor Who.
Doctor Who. Star Wars is
She hasn't
not,
written for Doctor Who yet.
Is it not the same kind of thing, Star Wars and Doctor Who?
You're pushing your luck, Peter. You are pushing your luck.
So I was going to ask you if that's a big thing, Star Wars Visions, because I haven't heard that.
It is. It's one of these branch offs from Star Wars that they have these various TV series.
They got so many now. It started off with like that popular one, The Mandalorian, was it?
Yes.
Okay, so it's one of those. Wow, she wrote an episode for that.
She's getting out there, and I really hope that we get more English translations of her work. I bought three books of hers in Korean for my wife, based on this one story.
Oh, nice. And then maybe if they're good, you can try and work your way through them, despite
I'm hoping to. I want to work my way through School Nurse An Eun-young. That's my goal for this year, is to try and see if I can read it in Korean.
Good goal. Anton Her on the other end of the scale. Old hat.
We've featured him too many times.
Decrepit knees.
No, if you're a new listener, all you need to know is Anton Her is one of the most prolific translators of Korean to English fiction at the moment. He's been shortlisted for the International Booker Prize, and his translations are always fantastic. I'm looking forward to this summer, because that's when his debut novel comes out.
Wow.
Toward Eternity. It comes out on July 9th. So we're not just getting translations from Anton Her, we're actually getting his own sci-fi fiction.
Some original works, looking forward to it. Tigerish backs you up, Paul, so I will believe you that they are not the same, Doctor Who and Star Wars.
I think any sensible adult with any interest in the genre would be able to tell you that. Thank you, Tigerish.
Yeah, I think similar would be a good, nice word.
Hang on. No, sorry. Time-traveling Time Lord with companions fighting Daleks versus lightsaber Jedi mind tricks.
Is there no time travelling in Star Wars, I wonder?
Not in the main films.
Not in the main films, you're right. Okay, so that's the one difference.
No Daleks either.
The rest is similar. Where are we going to start then? This short story, I'm guessing the very beginning?
Yeah, the very beginning. You don't need to know anything because we'll be introduced to the main character straight away. Yeo Sung-jin, 34, English teacher, couldn't remember his first day at the detention centre. He was highly sensitive to anaesthetics, but the government didn't make accommodations for such things. Sung-jin consequently lost consciousness for more than double the time of the average person on the same dosage. Only on the second day of his internment could he manage the stiffness of his neck well enough to sit down at the warden's office. "I believe, Teacher Yeo, that you understand our position." The warden was a short man in his 50s, whose easy smile reached his eyes. As small and neat as he was, there was a certain intimidating air about him, something like a little pocket knife, thought Sung-jin, still groggy and hungover from the anesthesia. I'm actually not sure why I need to be locked up. He did have a vague suspicion, but to confirm it would mean he was in even more danger, so he tried hard to ignore his own thoughts. "Teacher Yeo, do you deny many of your students, 16 to be exact, have become murderers?" The warden's gaze was now sharp. Sung-jin squirmed in the uncomfortable chair. This was more or less what he had suspected. News from students he had taught for 2 years, a contract teacher and four a permanent, was always disturbing. He hadn't known how many, but some of the stories had made it to him. The first had been an incident during mandatory military service. "But he was a gentle and quiet child," Sung-jin had said. "Why would he have done this?" "You know how it is," said the messenger. "Still waters run deep. He actually shot his superior. But he didn't have a shred of violence in him." People like to say the military was better than it used to be. It could still be an awful place. And people can change. He didn't dwell on it. It was a broken world, and there was little more one teacher could do except nurture good citizens and hope for the best. Then there was the one who pushed one of his college cohort down a rocky valley, and one who stabbed someone with a smashed beer bottle in a bar fight, and one who committed a hit and run under the influence, and one who strangled his victim, and the suicide club organizer who gathered members into a room and left after everyone else had killed themselves, and one who had trapped and tortured someone in a subway bathroom stall, and the kidnapper murderer, and the arsonist murderer, and the one who installed a bomb in a subway station's coin locker, and one who mixed poison into IV bags and devastated an entire hospital, and one who'd worked on a construction site and dropped a large electric drill on a pedestrian, and one who worked at a grill and got into a fight with a customer before stabbing him with the tongs used to carry hot coal.
Arirang.
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 Arirang Radio.
Take my voice.
Both English and Korean. Moksorido tirikyo. That's a fun word that I've not often thought about. Neck sound is voice, isn't it? Moksori.
Yeah, in Korean, coming from the origins of pictograms and hanja, those Chinese characters, yeah, often it's two words put together to get the word that we want,
rather than
a new word.
Let's start calling it throat sounds or neck sounds from now on. You're a neck sound actor. How does that sound? Not so good.
Should we move on?
We can move on. That was rather gory and horrible, listing all the murders of this English teacher. I'm now going to say quote unquote, because it seems like he's teaching something else, because a lot of his students are becoming murderers. So is he a murderer as well? Is that why he's locked up? Is he making these kids kill? I don't know, it reminds me of, like, Black Widow and maybe them being trained.
You're just obsessed with superhero movies now.
Because I've seen it recently, and Hydra, like, programming Winter Soldier. Is something like that going on?
No!
Okay.
No.
So then why is he locked up?
Okay, let me explain. He's not done this intentionally. And when he's taken to the centre and when he's recovered from the anaesthesia, they reveal to him that the reason why they've detained him is that it's his voice that is the cause of the killings.
Oh, so kind of like Hydra and like voice commands.
Can
to
we
make...
please Sorry. Stay away from the Winter Soldier?
Like his voice, as in not necessarily the words that he's saying, but
no,
just
but
his
just
actual
the voice.
Voice
itself, if you listen to it for more than 6 months,
what?
It can change you into a killer.
How on earth did they find that out? That's interesting.
Well, they've analysed it and they've tested it as well. And that's why he has to be detained. Mm-hmm. And they give him an ultimatum. They say, if you want to live a normal life in the outside world, then you have to agree to having your Moxori box removed. Your voice box removed.
Oh, my goodness. That's quite extreme.
Yeah. And so at first he's like, I can't agree to that.
Yeah.
And they say, well, if you don't do it, you're going to be stuck here for the rest of your life. We'll tell your family and friends you died abroad in a car accident.
Wow.
You know, no one will know. He doesn't have to decide straight away, though. So
okay.
So the ultimatum is there, but he's got some leeway. Mm. And so he's like, okay, look, I'll see what's going on here, see what it's like. And he starts to adjust to life in the centre. And it's not bad. It's not like a prison, though he is a sort of a prisoner.
Okay.
The conditions are okay. The food isn't bad. It's peaceful.
Okay.
The other inmates are a little bit weird, though.
Oh.
So first he meets Hamin, who's 21 years old, and he's a hair mobiliser.
A what?
Well, his thoughts, his very strong thoughts, get transmitted into his hair.
Uh-huh.
And if the hair sheds and it comes into contact with other people, those people have those same thoughts.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
It's like the X-Men or something.
Yeah, and so he can't leave until he gets all his body hair lasered off. That's his ultimatum.
Oh, interesting.
Then there's another one, the oldest member of the detention centre, Kyungmo. Mm-hmm. He's 64 years old.
Yeah.
And he's a super spreader of diseases. He doesn't want to be.
That's not great.
No. And he was actually the first one to come to the centre because people around him died. And he had enough. He was like, I don't want anyone else to die. So he went to the authorities and said, look, put me away.
That's thoughtful.
Yeah. And the weird thing is, though, the other people in the detention centre, these monsters, as they call themselves, they're not affected. They're immune to each other's powers.
Oh, wow.
And the guards and the warden are also immune because they're a different kind of monster. They're people who have this tunnel vision.
Oh.
If you give them one task, if they have one task, that's all they think about.
Oh.
And so they're immune too. So they're all monsters, really, locked up together in this center.
They're perfect to be in here then, not getting affected by the other monsters.
Yes. And then he meets the third person who's even weirder.
Okay.
And she's a young girl. She's 11 years old.
Yep.
Her name is Soo Hyun, and she eats the flesh of the dead.
Oh.
She's actually a ghoul.
A ghoul?
Yeah.
Like a ghost?
No, ghouls are not ghosts. Ghouls are different. Ghouls are corporeal.
Oh.
A bit like zombies.
And they eat the flesh of the dead.
Yeah, and it's
that doesn't seem too bad if they're dead.
No, exactly. And in fact, ghouls are more common than you might imagine.
Oh, really?
And he's not sure whether she's being detained or whether she's being protected.
Uh-huh.
But she's there anyway. She has access to a cemetery. You know, she gets the body parts she needs.
Wow.
And so he stays. He gets himself a karaoke machine.
Oh, so he's like fitting in.
Well, no, he's thinking, if I'm going to have this operation, if I'm going to lose my voice, I'm going to use it.
Okay.
And he likes to sing. And so he sings every day. His inmates come in and sing with him. He gets to know them. They become a little less weird.
Okay.
And he's breaking up with his girlfriend by text in the outside world because he can't communicate by video or audio. He's now basically separated from society.
Interesting.
He plays computer games with Hamin. He plays board games and card games with Kyungmo. And he watches zombie movies with Soo Hyun.
Oh, she likes to watch movies.
She does. She likes the zombies.
Okay.
And then everything changes when a new person comes in, a new monster. Her name is Yunsun.
Uh-huh.
She's 27 years old. And she's accused of making people addicted to things.
Okay.
Like she causes addictions to alcohol or caffeine or gambling or whatever. And the government don't know how she does it yet.
Wow.
And she's like, no, there's nothing wrong with me. And she protests, but she's got no choice. She has to stay here. And at first, she doesn't want to be there, but she gets used to it.
Okay.
And she turns out to be really lovely.
Oh.
She's really kind and compassionate and friendly. And her personality, her good nature starts to change the whole nature of the centre. It becomes a much better place to be.
What an interesting story. It does remind me of X-Men. I can't remember what that place was called where they gathered all the kids together.
Professor Xavier's School for Gifted Mutants.
There we go. I love this. Okay, so we're going to pick it up when she's there making everyone feel good.
Yun-sun made every day at the center special. She proposed they each take turns cooking a dish for all the inmates every weekend, getting the warden's permission to do so. The guards were watchful that the inmates should not cause a riot with the cooking utensils, but nothing of the sort ever happened. And while the scheme had been Yun-sun's suggestion, the other inmates rose to the challenge gladly. Kyung-mo made North Korean-style dumplings in spiced soy sauce. Sung-hyun made spicy sujebi. Yun-sun mixed rice in oven-cooked sweet pumpkins, and Ha-min made rapokki in jajang sauce. Soo-hyun would take one bite of each and spit it into a napkin, but she enjoyed sitting with them. It was a fun activity for about a month, but out of consideration for Soo-hyun, who had to eat alone in the garden at night with the lights turned off, they eventually decided not to continue with it. Next, Yun-sun arranged a sports day between all the inmates and the guards, which ended up becoming mostly a sports day for the guards. But a grand time was had by all. The warden had promised a bonus for any Cyclops who did well, and that had had a profound effect. Unexpectedly, however, Soo-hyun beat all comers at arm wrestling, which, in retrospect, shouldn't have been a surprise, as she was digging all hours and dragging around corpses several times her size. A barter system was established within the center. Old window blinds and light bulbs were replaced with energy-efficient solutions, a rainwater recycling system installed, dance times instituted for every second and fourth Friday of the month, a Cyclops who could offer music lessons sourced, an art room was built. Yun-sun provided absolutely tireless in her efforts. To think that such a fantastic worker who was so routinely relegated to a lonely internship, everyone agreed the world outside this place must be mad. Thus, Yun-sun settled into life at the center. Both the inmates and guards cared for her, and it felt like the center had somehow always been preparing for her arrival. Now that she was here, Yun-sun assumed the role as a kind of mascot for the place. A symbol of its spirit, a queen whose face they couldn't help but stare at, and who reigned over a peaceful and prosperous realm to the praise of all her subjects. It was a short, golden age. Only in retrospect and regret was the progression of events apparent. Sung-hyun would have felt guilty about it for a long time. Yun-sun had fallen ill.
Oh no, has she been infected by that super spreader or influenced by Sung-hyun to turn into a murderer? What's going on?
Well, the thing is, if you're a monster, you should be immune.
Oh no, so she wasn't a monster like she claimed.
She never claimed to be a monster.
Yeah, she claimed she wasn't, right?
Yeah, she was accused of being one. Uh-oh. So yeah, it seems as if Kyung-mo may have infected
her. Oh no!
And the Cyclopses, the wardens and the guard, they're not listening to him. So the monsters realize we have to do something. We have to help her get out.
Oh, however, we can do it. Too late already.
Yeah. So Ha-min has actually secretly been in touch with various politicians, using his hair powers to sway voters in elections.
Wow. Okay.
And he's got a few powerful connections on the outside that might be able to help.
Well, that's good.
Soo-hyun, she digs tunnels.
Yeah.
And she may have a tunnel that leads to a cemetery outside the center grounds as a way for Yun-sun to escape.
Okay, it's looking good.
And so they get a plan. Mm-hmm. Ha-min is going to get some powerful people to meet her at the cemetery. Kyung-mo is going to distract the warden by playing games and gambling with him. Mm-hmm. Soo-hyun will guide Yun-sun through the tunnels to freedom. And Sung-hyun is going to cause a distraction.
Okay, great plan.
Yeah. And so he makes a radio broadcasting unit out of bits and pieces without the guards noticing.
Very resourceful.
Yeah. And at the agreed time, he starts broadcasting to whoever might be listening. And he had prepared some sort of speech, but he forgets it all. So instead, he just sings the songs he knows. And eventually he's caught by the guards. He's tackled. He's locked in the basement. But it was enough for Yun Sun to get free.
Yes.
And so he gets out after a few days.
Mm-hmm.
And now he has one wish.
What's that?
To see her again.
Oh.
He's fallen in love with her.
Oh, it's a love story.
Yeah, and he will do anything to see her face just one more time. He goes over the scenarios of how she's going to reject him, saying like, ah, I've got a boyfriend, or, oh, you're too old for me,
yeah,
or, you know, actually I've turned into a killer and now I'm in prison, okay, or whatever it may be, but he just wants to see her one more time.
Oh.
And so he makes a very important decision.
Is he going to break out?
No. No, Peter.
Oh.
Think of the title of the story.
Prison Break. No, that's the drama, isn't it?
Oh, he's going to have his voice box removed.
Oh, wow.
And so the date is fixed. They have a send-off party to say goodbye.
Oh.
He says goodbye to his strange friends, and that's where the final reading will pick up. When Sungyoon first came to the center, he thought he and the other inmates had made the world crazy. But now that he was leaving, he realized the world had always been a strange place. The inmates were just a tiny bit stranger. He was worried most about Soo-hyun. Through her improved dexterity from hair braiding, she had made an elaborate friendship bracelet for Sungyoon that she now fastened on his wrist. He ignored her sharp claws scratching at his skin. The bracelet was still a little rough and smelled faintly of earth, but Sungyoon treasured it.
"Please promise me something,"
she said as Sungyoon tried to keep his composure. He said he would promise her anything.
"When you die someday, don't do anything wasteful like cremation or any of those capsules or microorganisms or whatnot. Just get interred in a coffin with thin panels and maybe a shroud."
"Okay, I promise."
"I get all the food I want in here. I'm just thinking of my friends out there who are starving. It makes my heart break."
Sungyoon realized Soo-hyun's sympathy was like that of many children her age, who worried about other children in starving countries, and decided to leave it at that. "Soo-hyun," said Hamin, "what do you think will be the strangest revelation once you're back out there?"
"Well, maybe that we'd been in Seoul this whole time, or some other place I'm very familiar with. Not that the center would ever reveal its secrets, I guess."
"I think I know what you mean. If this place turned out to be somewhere not so far removed from our lives, that would be strange." Sungyoon nodded his head. Sitting in silence, he stared out into the outdoor lights, which were twice as bright since Yun Sun's escape, and the darkness between them. The lights of the operation theater made the back of his eyelids white. He could see the capillaries like roads on a map. He was thinking about Yun Sun. Of an evening sometime back when she was drunk from her two beers and spinning around near the benches in the center's front lawn. She had stolen one of Kyungmo's cigarettes despite the fact she never smoked and drew pictures in the air with its white trail. Or perhaps they had been letters. She seemed like she was dancing, but the whole time she moved, Sungyoon was fearful the ash would drop on her. It never did. As if the center or the whole world loved Yun Sun so much that it had moved so the ash wouldn't drop on her. What a strange being she was. One so vague she would forever escape the grinding gears of this harsh universe. He was going to see Yun Sun, and when he did, she would have an unreadable expression in that unknown face of hers. The operation table was cold, and the doctor was perhaps not a doctor, but Sungyoon smiled anyway. When the doctor started his anesthesia and told him to start counting backwards, Sungyoon left behind some words instead. "Take my voice."
Aww. Is that where it ends?
Yeah, that's it.
Oh,
isn't it a good story?
Yeah, really good.
This is why I'm obsessed with her now, with this writer, Se-dang Chung, because this story just blew me away.
It's got all the ingredients for you, Paul, as well. You like this kind of short writing.
I do like monsters and mysteries and superpowers and all this thing, but at the heart of it is this sort of this idea of this woman coming in and changing everyone's lives.
Yeah, and being so inspirational, and then this guy sacrificing something very important, right? His voice. He loves to sing, but for love, but to go and see her just one more time. I need a part two Need to see where this goes.
Sorry, no, there's no part two. You've got to make it up for yourself.
Okay.
But this is also the really frustrating thing, which is why I bought my own copy of one of her books to read in Korean.
Okay.
Because we don't have the translations. And from this one story,
yeah.
I want to read all her work.
Absolutely.
So I really hope translators, publishers, if you're listening, please, please let us have more in English by Sereng Chang.
Yeah, that was brilliant, wasn't it? So this bunch of misfits, I guess it's your average maybe misfit story in that way, that they're all good guys and they get on together and they shouldn't be in there kind of thing.
It's like One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, but with a super spreader. But what's interesting for me as well is that whenever I read science fiction and fantasy, I'm always looking for what is the social context, what is the commentary, what is the writer saying? And sometimes that's just what I'm reading into it, rather what the writer is actually doing. But for me, one of the things I took away from it was the pressures of living in society. I don't know about you. I don't know if you've ever had this, where there are days where you just go, I wish I was a monk, or I wish I was in prison, or I wish I was a hermit living in a cave far away from everyone.
With all the hustle bustle around you and all the nunchi and everything like that,
caring
about what people think and
feel. Life is hard. Work is hard. Interacting with people is hard. And it made me think about how Korean society can be really oppressive in terms of busyness, but also if you're different, if you behave differently or act differently or look differently, then you may get pushed back on.
Yeah.
You may get pressured.
It's got a lot better, but I remember when I first came to Korea, they would say that thing, that saying that if you're a nail that sticks out, you'll get hammered in kind of thing.
Yeah, right? It's that tall poppy syndrome. And there is, I think that there still is this group conformity, not for everyone, but certainly you'll see it in terms of fashion, for example, or in terms of tastes and trends, where people, even if they don't want to do something or dress some way or act in a particular way, feel like maybe they should do.
Yeah.
Like in spring, wearing a brown jacket.
Or
in winter,
so many
wearing long padding
coats. Yeah, and I don't know. It's maybe half. You just can't be bothered to stick out. Right?
Yeah,
you're just like, I don't want the hassle of that, and that's already sad in and of itself, I suppose.
But the big question, I think, we're dealing with it all around the world, and a little bit more in Korea, is about diversity, and especially when it comes to brains.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about autism and ADHD.
Yeah.
That's not Dustin Hoffman in Rain Man.
Mm.
There are many degrees of it, and we had the extraordinary attorney, Woo Young-woo, for example, where there are people who are living in society who cannot be the so-called normal, because that's not the way they were born. And
Absolutely.
So I think this is also a celebration of saying, you can't be different, and it's okay.
Yeah, all these weird, wonderful creatures in their own right being attractive and useful.
They're not creatures, they're humans.
So they're not monsters, are they? They are human beings.
Well, apart from the ghoul.
Tigris says it sounded a lot like Being Human. I've not read that story, but you said the UK version of it was really good. If you choose to read it, I recommend it. It is a story of love, intrigue, and monsters.
Isn't it a werewolf and a vampire and a human?
Oh, is that what it's about?
It's a TV series from the UK, I believe. Or maybe it was adapted from the books.
Well, that's cool. And Reina says, talking about a ghoul who is starving, it seems that Korean ghosts are always starving in their stories. Yeah, I think satiating that hunger is part of the horror, isn't it? One-line review, please, Paul.
A fabulous, fantastical story of friendship and love and sacrifice.
Oh, I want part two. Next week, what are we going to be tackling?
We got poetry. Hope is Lonely by Kim Sung-hee, translated by Brother Anthony Anson-jae. Go and get it. If you haven't got it, let me know what you think.
You can listen to Check It Out with Paul Matthews on Arirang Radio's hashtag Daily K every Wednesday from 10 a.m. KST.